Blog Talk Radio.
Which is appropriate for tonight. Of course, that was recorded by Bob Dratch many years ago, who did a dolphin swim, and he has said that one of the dolphins came up to him and hit him in the third eye and showed him how to do that. And this audio has been used by many spiritual teachers, including Drunvalo Melchizedek, who says that this audio file will put anyone into theta in about 3 minutes, which is pretty remarkable. But it's one of my favorite audio files to listen to while meditating or doing healing work. Is that the first time that you guys have listened to that?
I don't think so. I think actually a friend of ours in California has given us that tape.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Quite lovely.
Yeah. So tonight we have with us, and I want to make a couple apologies. Last week's show, we had people try to call into the show, and there were some problems with the switchboard. They couldn't call in. So hopefully it'll be corrected tonight. And then I have Dave listed as David Shea. David's correct name is David Rosenthal. So it's David Rosenthal and Linda Shea of Dolphin Heart World in Sedona, Arizona. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
So we're going to talk about dolphins. Now, one first thing I want to talk about is because this is a topic for a lot of people that have done dolphin swims. And, you know, Tiffany and I did a couple dolphin swims in 07 in Key Largo at Dolphins Plus. And we had so many people say, well, you know, you shouldn't do dolphin swims because they're captive dolphins. You should go do a swim in the free, out in the open waters. And I've heard kind of conflicting stories. And then you listen to you know, Jerry Nestor Hicks, and they say, well, actually, the dolphins that are captive, they did that because they wanted to be service to us, the humans. Now, I know that the callers don't know this, but Linda, you told me a very profound story about this topic. I would like for you to share that story with the listeners, because I think it's a really good story for this very topic right here.
It is. Thanks, Mark. Yes, I had the dolphins teach me a very beautiful lesson about that. David and I had made our trip to Bimini to swim with the dolphins also in 07, and we wanted to explore the possibility of moving to Florida, and we spent about 10 days touring the coast of Florida. And our idea for that trip was to both swim with wild dolphins off of Key West and then also to visit the captive dolphins at either Dolphins Plus or Dolphins Research Center. And we went to Key West first and went out on a boat, and the boat captain began sharing her views about the wild dolphins versus the captive dolphins. And at that time, it seemed like the opinions were very powerful on both
very
sides.
Both
sides of the pendulum were swinging wildly. And while I was with her, I kind of bought into her viewpoint. And I said to David, you know, let's not go to Dolphins Plus. I don't want to put my energy, I don't want to spend our money and kind of encourage the captive experience. And so we chose not to. You know, we basically drove on by and continued our tour. And then we returned to Sedona, and it was about 6 months later, and I was just walking through our natural food store shopping when this energy came at me. It was like this cry, this plaintive cry that came through the ethers, and it stopped me in my tracks. And I just closed my eyes, and I went inside, and I felt that it was these dolphins from Dolphins Plus. And they were communicating to me, we are here, we're here to offer you a gift, and you chose not to receive our gift. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart. And I promised them in that moment that we would indeed go and visit them and meet them. And it really taught me that, you know, we humans have our ideas and judgments about what's right and what's wrong, but I also have learned who the dolphins are, and they are here in service to humanity, just like Jerry and Esther said, and they have such loving allowance for us, and they'll really do anything to touch our hearts, and that includes being available in the wild as well as in these captive situations. So I've learned that both serves a purpose and both has value.
Right. You know, when we did the swim a couple of years ago in February down there, you know, one of the dolphins came up to me and didn't hit me exactly in the third eye, but a little bit to the right. And as many of you know that listen to the show, I'm a sound healer, and the tones that come through me, what the dolphin communicates to me is that, you know, when a dolphin sees you, not only do they see you with their eyes, their physical eyes, but when they hit you with a sonar, their sonar, they see the image of a hologram.
Yes.
And it's like a bat would do at night, you know. Like, and what the dolphin conveyed to me is that at some point in time, if I would allow it, that the sound that comes through me would in turn reflect back a hologram of the person, so I would be able to see what's going on with them.
Yeah.
So that was a really profound experience, you know, with me and the dolphin swim. So I thought I had a really good time, and I really enjoyed my experience with dolphins at Dolphins Plus.
I think they do really good work. They really do.
So let's start from the beginning. You know, we've been talking for about 10 minutes here. I ask this question to all my guests. You know, it's like, you know, you wake up and you grow up as a child and you say, well, I'm going to be a firefighter. I'm going to be a policeman. Oh, I want to be a school teacher. I want to talk to dolphins. Yeah. Everyone say that I'm crazy for doing this.
Exactly.
So how did your both of your journeys evolve in that?
Well, my journey, Mark, started in 1990s. David has to help me with time. 1996.
96 when you first. Okay.
Yeah, and I was a banker in my past life, so that was my corporate experience, and kind of left that, went on sabbatical to find a way of living and supporting myself that was more soulful and more resonating with my heart. But I was a land girl. I'm a lover of mountains and wildflowers and hiking and camping, so the ocean experience really hasn't been on the radar. It hasn't been something that I've sought out. And I did have a very brief telepathic encounter with dolphins a couple years before that in Hawaii that was interesting, but it seemed to be just another one of my spiritual experiences that I didn't give much weight to. And I had returned to Sedona after being away for about a year, and within moments of landing here, everybody that I came into contact with, whether it was somebody that I knew or a stranger, within moments started talking about dolphins. Hmm. And it was such a puzzle to me. A, I didn't know anything about dolphins besides what I saw as a kid on the TV show Flipper. So I had nothing to contribute. I know dolphins are beautiful and wonderful, but I didn't really care about them. So I was like, why? Why are these people talking to me about dolphins? And it happened so much. And there were other ways that the dolphins were trying to get a message through to me that I had to pay attention, and I called out into the universe one day in my apartment, what is it about the dolphins? I'm in the desert. I don't get it. And 2 weeks later, I met this man sitting beside me now that I am now married to. I met David, and 2 hours after David and I met, I had a 5-minute psychic reading in a restaurant in Sedona.
Oh, a restaurant in Sedona. Oh, man.
And this woman looked into my eyes, closed her eyes, and opened her eyes and said, dolphins, you need to go to them, swim with them, be healed by them. And so that pushed me into having my first in-water encounter with the dolphins in Hawaii, which really started the whole journey. But it came from out of the blue. It was something I wasn't expecting at all. So that's kind of just how it started for me.
So what happened in that first swim, dear?
In that first swim, I had I was with an entire pod of the wild Hawaiian spinner dolphins, about 85 dolphins, for 2 hours.
Wow.
By myself. There were no other humans around. And that in itself is extraordinary. I thought that was normal. And during that 2 hours, I did have one very close encounter with one dolphin who swam up and positioned himself vertically right in front of me, and my body was vertical, so we were full body to full body just looking at one another, and he was probably just 2 feet away from me, and it was so unexpected. I started laughing, and my mask was filling up with water, so I had to surface. But just before I surfaced, he made the clicking sounds. And from that moment on, I believe that sound activation is what activated something inside of me to enable me to transmit dolphin energy to people on land.
Yeah.
Because I came out of the water, and for weeks I began having just spontaneous experiences with people. I would simply talk casually about dolphins, and the people I would be talking to started telling me what they were experiencing. They would feel energy moving through their body. They would get tingles or goosebumps. Something was happening when I simply talked to them about dolphins.
And you began to feel the energy passing through you.
Yeah, and I was energy was passing through me, and it's such a high, fine frequency, but it was the people receiving who told me that this is coming from the dolphins. I didn't know that. You know, so the dolphins were giving me messages through my new clients, validating that this is what was going on. So it's quite a journey of discovery.
So, you know, I've had some encounters in the dream state with dolphins, where they interact with me in the dream state, and I know that Native Americans talk about that we have animal totems or animal medicine, and spirit speaks, and I know that Stephen Farmer talks about animal medicine and especially the dolphins as being a part of that joy and playful energy. And Dave, I think that you've got a story to share about having a dolphin guide.
Archie.
Well, let me think a little bit about where to start, because I met Linda the night that her spiritual journey with the dolphins began, and that journey really had a beginning and a middle and an end, and it took 7 years. And during those 7 years, I was, you know, during that same time, we fell in love, we got married, and I was supporting Linda in her journey, but I was mainly watching and seeing that there was something very, very special going on between Linda and the dolphins and her, and that when someone came and received their energy, that it was, you know, very often it was life-changing for people. And I had been on a spiritual path myself for most of my adult life, consciously. But still, I saw what was happening with Linda as very special and very unique. And during that time, I did have, Linda and I did go a few times and swam with the dolphins, both in Hawaii and in Key West and in Bimini. And those were, extraordinary, extraordinary experiences. But what happened when Linda's journey completed in 2003, and she had a real awakening. She woke up one morning and she was brand new. And the dolphins came through and said, "We've given you a gift, and it's time to start giving this gift to other people as well." And so that was really when I got involved, because I saw that now I could have that same connection that seemed to be just a gift from God that Linda had, that now that was shareable and that I could have that same connection. And so Linda began her first pod of dolphin students here in our home in Sedona in 2003, and I was one of the students. And as I went through that, my earlier experiences and my sense of myself as a teacher really came to the fore. And Linda was the adventurer and the explorer, and she really had no experience as a teacher at all. She was just making it up completely as she went along. And so we came into a partnership of teaching our dolphin school together. So that brings us to your exact question, because during the time leading up to that point in 2003, when I started dolphin school with Linda, for about 6 months, I'd kind of been befriended by Archangel Michael. And Archangel Michael had been coming to me in my meditations regularly, and he had really been kind of helping me out through a pretty intense time in my life when I was leaving my corporate job and you know, setting out in the world in a new way. And in our very first dolphin school session together, Linda led us through a meditation where we each met our dolphin guides. And my dolphin guide swam up to me and said, and Linda said, ask your dolphin guide for its name. And the name that came was Archie. So my dolphin guide's name was Archie. And huge. I mean, he was, I don't know how big he was, but he was a big dolphin. And
and your first thought with it was like Jughead and Archie, that Archie
comic
books?
A lot of the times when people get their dolphin guide names, the dolphins give us names that carry their joy and carry their playfulness. And so that was definitely true for me with Archie. But the next day, I was doing my meditation, and I started feeling this energy of Archie, and I started feeling like Archie, Archangel Michael, Archie, Archangel Michael, and I started to suspect that there was some kind of a connection.
Because it felt familiar to
me. It felt familiar. He felt very familiar to me. And so what we later came to understand was that Archie essentially is the dolphin aspect of Archangel Michael. So shortly after that, let me just complete the story. About 3 weeks later, Archie started talking through me and giving us our instructions about how to build this dolphin school. And he really has become, he went from being kind of my personal dolphin guide to really being the dolphin guide for our school, who really, has pointed the way for what we're here to do. So that's Archie. He's a pretty cool guy.
You know, I lived in Sedona for over 4 years, and I've been going to Sedona since 1989, and I kind of laugh because so many people in Sedona have these names like Om Shantare, or you know, Zedo, or what, you know, just some cosmic strange name, and I've always said, no, you're Joan from Ohio.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Keep it accessible. Keep it.
When Dave was telling the story the other day, I thought, when he said it was Archie, I was like, that was great, you know, because it could have been something like, you know, to weigh out there.
You know, the dolphins are not big on ego.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're not big on how big and important and, you know, brilliant they are. They really bring us to our joy and our playfulness, and they tend to get us to take ourselves less seriously, which I think a lot of us need, and I have needed that from time to time. So the dolphins have been very good for me.
Yeah. So, what do you think that in interacting with the dolphins over the last several years? What do you think their biggest message is to humanity?
I want to talk about the project.
Yeah,
that we can answer that on several levels.
Let me share first, because I have one brief little answer for that.
Okay.
I believe that the foundational frequency that the dolphins bring to the planet and to humanity is the frequency of joy.
Right.
So that it's foundationally, that's what they're here to bring and to give to us. And David, you can go ahead and take it further.
Well, first of all, let me just say that I personally came to the conclusion a while back that the dolphins are spiritual masters. That when we look at, you know, the Dalai Lama or the, you know, there are people out there who really have reached and have, you know, who live at a higher place than most of us do and who've really reached a level of mastery. And I'd had the opportunity to be around people like that at a few places in my life. And when I started being around dolphins, I had the kind of the sense that it was the same. So I started thinking that, okay, so if you look at a human who's reached this high level of mastery, the level that they've reached is where the dolphins live. You know, it's the level of your ordinary, average, everyday in the water dolphin. And if you think about it, we are a very young species. Humanity has been around, you know, a few, you know, 100,000 years, really 10 or 15,000 years, not very long. The dolphins have been on this planet, and, you know, even before we go talking about other planets and such, on this planet, they've been around for about 60 million years. So they really are our elders. And when I think about humanity and the space we're in as humanity now, I think humanity is going through the terrible twos. You know, I think humanity is going through the space of evolution as a species where we basically kind of just run around, you know, making a lot of noise and wrecking things all around us. And it's a part of our evolution. It's a part of what we hope to get through. But the dolphins specifically, after we'd been transmitting their attunements and you know, working with them for years, they came to us, actually it was a year ago last summer, and said, what we're doing with you is part of a larger project. And this is a project that we've been working on for the past, really consciously for the past 60 years, and that we see as going on into the future for possibly even the next 250 years or so. And this project, the purpose of this project, we intend to heal the hearts of humanity. We are here to heal the heart of humanity, all of humanity.
Wow.
And so that, when we talk about the dolphin's gift, that is what they, that's what our elders are endeavoring to do with us at this point. And it happens one person at a time. But what the dolphins are bringing is quite extraordinary and quite profound. And Linda and I get to watch, you know, people's hearts being healed as they go through our school, and it's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, you know, you brought up some things about other planets, and we talked about this the other day, that the Dogons are a tribe in the West Ivory Coast of Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We have sent numerous astronomers and physicists over there the last 20 or 30 years because their information about the galaxies and the stars and the rotation of the planets and all that stuff is far more accurate than ours. And the Dogons have a history of over 50,000 years, and they have said numerous times that the one we would call Jesus was a dolphin, and that he specifically came from the planet, the star system Sirius. And it's interesting to note that the original symbol for Jesus was not the crucifix, it was a fish, but when they drew it 2,000 years ago, the fish was vertical.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't horizontal like you see on the back of, or the walking fish, which is a dolphin. And I know that Drunvalo Melchizedek talks about that we were once them, we were once dolphins that have, and then we've come out of the sea. And some people say that if you x-ray a dolphin's fin, there's like
yes.
a little hand in there.
That's right.
Oh, that's absolutely
that's
true.
That's right.
That's
mm-hmm.
absolutely true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's, as humanity has evolved, the dolphins have from time to time reached out and given us gifts in different ways. And our sense is that they'll kind of intervene in the evolution of humanity, and then they'll take a step back
and watch
and see what humanity does with what we've been given. And it's and Scott Taylor in his book talks about this, and he talks about how you know you can go back through the historical record, and during those times when mankind made a leap, there was a way that the dolphins were involved. The dolphins were very involved with the ancient Greeks. And at the beginning of the Renaissance, there were also, he shows these links where the dolphins and the whales had a connection with us, and that set us on our way. And it seems like we've opened up to a place of technology, but what's really needed now for the next step is an opening of our hearts so that we can begin to use these technologies wisely mm-hmm. instead of using them to, you know,
destroy the planet.
But a couple things to comment on. Wasn't Star Trek IV where they had to save the whale because the planet was going to be destroyed if we didn't save the whale? And related to memories, and they said in the movie that whales retain the memories of the planet, which is something that Drunvalo has said for, mm-hmm. I don't know, 10 or 15 years, that they literally hold, the dolphins and whales literally hold the Akashic records of the planet mm-hmm. or memory.
You know, this information is just out there.
Right.
You know, if you look at the movie Cocoon, when the aliens come to the planet, they're landing in their flying saucer over the ocean, and all of the dolphins are there to greet them.
Yeah, right.
And you can see that the dolphins are like, "Hi, you're back."
That was amazing. There was a time, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago when I just got this hit to rent that movie again, and I thought, why? I've already seen that movie. But, you know, it comes a couple times, and I pay attention, so we rented it. And that scene was in the very beginning of the movie that I did not even remember was there.
Mm-hmm.
The very beginning, the spaceship comes, and the dolphins are poking their heads out of the water, celebrating, and it's like, oh! I was like, David, oh, my gosh, and Ron Howard directed that movie. So it's like, whoa.
Yeah, at some level we know this. At some level we know that the dolphins are our elders.
Mm-hmm.
And that awareness, you know, pretty, you know, mostly stays beneath the surface unless you really pay attention to it. But it does pop up in popular culture. It just pops up all over the place because it's the truth.
I just want to let everyone know that's listening to the show that if they want to call in and talk to either David or Linda, the number to call in is 347-205-9349. That's 347-205-9349. And it seems to me in the last, 10 or 15 years that humanity has developed this incredible fascination with dolphins, an incredible, like, wanting to do dolphin swims, wanting to go to do research projects. And now in the last, I would say, 4 or 5 years, we've seen that, children with MS who do
mm-hmm.
dolphin swims have profound healings. Children with autism who do dolphin swims have profound healings. So more so than ever before, we have this very intense interest in dolphins.
And I think what David mentioned earlier is this is a time in the evolutionary course of humanity that the dolphin consciousness is rising into our awareness much more so than it has been. Because they have these gifts to give, and now is the time. It's like humanity has reached a place in our collective consciousness where we're willing to open to the idea that these beings who live in our oceans actually do have something to give to us, and we're open to receiving that.
Yeah, Drunvalo talks a lot about how they are very important teachers to us, and we can learn so much from them. What, in your experience in working with dolphins, what is the biggest thing that they have taught you?
You know what? This may sound funny, but I have learned to be a better human through what the dolphins have taught me. They've taught me how to be a better human. They've taught me how to come from a higher place of love in my interactions. They've really helped me limit my judging, much, much, much less judging in my daily life than was true in the past.
You know, when Linda's very first telepathic experience with the dolphins, which was 2 years before we met. And a dolphin came to the boat that she was on, and this energy went through her, and she asked them a question. And the question was, what are you here to teach us? And the answer that came was instant, and it was unity, community.
Oh, wow.
And so that's really one of the main things our school is about, is unity, community. That, do you
want
to talk about that?
And something that I want to say about that is, up until my awakening in 2003, I was pretty much a very private person, a little shy, and I was more one-on-one. I had a few close personal friends, but I was not a group person. I really didn't go to group events. If I did go to a group event, I would sit at the back row and leave as soon as it was over because I didn't know how to interact with groups of people. I just didn't know how to do that. I was uncomfortable. And once I had this consciousness shift so that I was now embodying the dolphin consciousness merged with my human consciousness, I began to discover that I wanted deep, intimate, authentic connection with lots and lots of people, like I needed air to breathe.
Dolphins are very playful, aren't they?
Yes, yes. And it was like the switch inside of me that had the word community on it got turned on.
Linda, hold on.
Yeah.
We have a caller.
Okay, good.
From area code 847. You have a question for Linda or David? Hello? area code 847. You're on the air with Linda Shea and David Rosenthal. Are you there? They hung up. Sorry.
Okay.
Too bad.
Okay, all right.
Sad. So we're talking about community, and the other word I really want to bring in is connection, mm-hmm. that the dolphins live at a level of connection that we humans can hardly imagine. Mm-hmm. For us, you know, to really connect with one person is such a special thing. And the dolphins, particularly the dolphins we've swum with the most, which are the Hawaiian spinner dolphins, they live in pods of 70 or 80 people. 70 or 80 dolphins. Sorry about that. I'll tell you, language.
Soon.
Yeah, 70 or 80 dolphins. And they are in this extended family every day of their lives, for their entire life. And they are deeply, deeply connected with each other. You know, when you're hanging out with them, it's one of the most interesting things is that you can be in the bay with a whole bunch of dolphins, and they're all just playing and hanging out, and then all of a sudden, at one moment, everybody just turns and heads out to sea. You know, it's like, sorry, and I've actually had the experience of a dolphin. I had a sense that the dolphin was saying to me, sorry, I got to go now, and they all just turned and headed out and headed down the coast. And they're very, very purposeful and very connected in how they use their time and how they play with each other. But I think that is one of the most important things that they have to teach us, because all of us humans are dealing with just the separation of being
very, very
a human.
Purposeful and very connected.
Okay. Now, I'm hearing an echo.
Yeah, hold on.
With each other.
575, you're on the air with David and Linda. Do you have a question for David or Linda?
Hi, David and Linda. This is Karen in Mount Shasta.
Karen in Mount Shasta.
Hey, Karen.
Oh, hi.
Hey, that's a trick area code because my phone is from New Mexico. But I just got home and I turned it on, and I just wanted to tell you that when you talk about the school, one thing I really want to put out there about the Dolphin School that you do that's so unique and beautiful is that when you take students through the Dolphin Attunement, what happens is David and Linda just step back and hold the space, and the Dolphin frequencies come in individually to each person with each person's permission. And it's not about David and Linda. It's about them creating the space for all of us to come in who say yes to this experience. And so it's very empowering because it's about teaching you how to connect directly yourself so that you have that the rest of your life, and it's not there's no one in the middle. And that's a really beautiful and unique thing about the school, and if people are looking for ways to come into just a deep reconnection with this energy and what it can do for your life, there's no better way. So I just want to put a plug in for coming to the Dolphin School and experiencing it for yourself. I love you guys.
Thank you, Karen. It's so great to hear you. We need to have a call.
Yeah, I was thinking about you this morning. Because we got to have a call with Karen.
Thank you.
Karen is someone we know. She's a student who's been through our program and lives in
Outset. You're right. That's a good point, Karen, because the Dolphin Attunements, they don't come through us. We hold space. The attunements are delivered directly by the dolphins to the individual receiver. So there's no interference, and there's no way for that process to get perverted or changed or morphed in any way. You know, the purity of that transmission is intact, and it is a gift.
And the thing that is so beautiful about that is when you share afterwards, when people share through the months their experiences, everyone's different.
Mm-hmm,
every
right.
experience of every attunement with each individual is unique. And so you know, there's a theme, but how that comes into the person is so individual.
Yeah. Thank you, Karen.
Yes, thank
so
you.
So keep it up. And there's out there for you. So we'll see you soon.
Yes, we will. Thanks for calling in, Karen. We appreciate it very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So Karen brought up a topic that we should bring up. Is that you do classes and workshops, and you have some. Looks like we have some coming up. You have one in North Florida, February 6th to the 8th, one in South Florida, the February 13th to 15th. So, and you're going to be in Holland. Holy cat, that's quite a from Sedona.
Yes.
Holland.
We
travel a lot.
Yes.
I was going to say, you know, I know I've been spending a lot of time in Sedona. It seemed like everyone that lived in Sedona either spent a few years in Hawaii, and then they spent a few years in Sedona, or they spent years in Sedona and they went to Hawaii. Type of like Lemurian or Sumerian connection between Sedona and Hawaii?
Very much so. Very much so. The energies migrate back and forth. Uh-huh.
And the people migrate
the
back
people.
And forth.
Mm-hmm.
Many.
So
many.
So go back to upcoming workshops that we have going on with both of you and how people can register for that and stuff.
Well, let's just say a few things. When Linda had her awakening and the dolphins came, they said, we've done an experiment on you. And the experiment was success. And now what we've done is we've actually created a merging of the human consciousness with the dolphin consciousness and created a new form of consciousness on the planet. And this is something that as we understand it, has never been done before. And Linda was kind of the guinea pig. She was the one upon whom the experiment was done, but it wasn't just for her. And so they said, now that we've been through this process, we understand how to give this gift to anyone. And so we'd like you to begin gathering your pods, because this gift has to be given in a group. It's not something, because of the nature of what it is.
And the creation of unity community
and,
among humanity. It's,
right.
It's to be
right. We can't be in unity community all alone. We have to be together. But it took the form of six dolphin attunements, which are these experiences that Karen was talking about that are delivered directly by the dolphin consciousness. And what we learned after the first year of bringing these attunements to people was that people really needed a lot of integration time, in between the attunements. That ideally, you know, once you should receive not more than one attunement every 3 months, because each attunement sets enormous, enormous changes into motion. And we also learned that there were skills that needed to be learned. That it's the name of our school is Dolphin Healing Hearts, a gateway to the new paradigm, and that's what it is. It's a gateway, so it's bringing us into the new paradigm. And the sixth attunement is really when that shift in the merging of the dolphin consciousness and the human consciousness is completed.
And life in the new paradigm is unlike life in the old paradigm, and it's different choices need to be made. You know, it's living from duality where there's good and bad, and
it's moving from that.
Moving from that into unity where it's all one. And the ways that we've learned to survive duality no longer serve us when we're living in unity. And so through the course of the 15 months, there's an awful lot of letting go that our students go through, letting go of old ideas, old beliefs, old patterns of behavior, and opening up to the idea and the knowing that it is safe to be who you really are on the planet and to express who you really are in a place of unity and oneness without fear. So it's a very, very huge personal transformation that happens for people that has been an incredible joy and privilege and honor for David and I to witness and participate in.
And yeah. So the form our school takes is 6 weekends. And the weekends are spaced 3 months apart, so the whole thing takes about 15 months. And the first weekend is the frequency of joy. And so in each weekend, you receive one attunement. And the first weekend, obviously, you receive the first attunement. And that's what we're doing in the U.S. is that we don't require any kind of a commitment from people to do the first weekend. So people can come and do the first weekend and experience what this is. And quite honestly, the majority of people who come know that they're in for the, you know that they actually want to receive the whole gift. And so they come in knowing that they want to do all 6 weekends. But we don't require that. And that's what's coming up in Florida, in, I guess, Panama City Beach, on the 6th through the 8th of February, and then in Estero Beach, southern Florida, southwestern Florida.
Now, up in Panama, they have the school that does a lot of work with the dolphin swims and children with autism. There's a lady,
mm-hmm.
I think her name, she's from France. Am I correct? Are you?
I just heard about her. I just discovered about her. I hadn't known about her before. Yeah, so I do understand that someone's there doing this kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was not why we ended up there. It was just kind of life and people combined, and you know, we got called out there to do classes. But that is, and we actually have people coming from all over to do that class. We have someone flying in from Santa Fe to
someone from Virginia.
Someone from Virginia.
Yeah.
We've been doing our classes in Holland pretty much since the beginning, and we have that's really where the largest number of our graduates are.
Well, I was going to say, I was in the UK a few years ago, and I found that people were far more open to what I did over there than even the 5 years I spent in Sedona.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. We have just been embraced.
Yes, so warmly received.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, it's been mm-hmm. incredible.
Yeah, yeah, and they're adventurers. They're very, you know, there's a lot of honesty and openness there, and you know, and not everyone. There's, you know, the Dutch have a reputation for being stiff, but that reputation is not always true.
Yeah,
and
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, and it has not been true of the people who find their way to our school. And then the other pod that's coming up in April is in Northern California. And that's what we found, a beautiful place to do that too. There's a man who has a ranch north of Marin in a little town called Petaluma. And he turned his barn into a workshop space, and it's just out in nature, and it's
very nurturing,
very very nurturing place.
You know, this question just came to me kind of, and I don't know if Archie has ever talked to you about this, but why do whales and dolphins beach themselves? Are they trying to get our attention to something, or are they?
One of the things that I believe at this, we as humanity still, what it takes to get our attention mm-hmm. is drastic acts.
Right, you know,
in order to break our hearts open, to have us come together, to have us pay attention. And I think that's one of the reasons, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is because things that we as humans have done have hurt them.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sonar that the Navy uses is very, you know, physically damaging to marine mammals. And they beach to show us. You know, when I was a lot younger and I was in one of my first relationships, I was not all that conscious. And sometimes I would do things that would really hurt the person I was with. And she gave me this enormous gift, which was that she would show me what I had done. She would show me how what I had done had affected her. And out of that, I learned. And so sometimes I think the dolphins beach themselves to show us, hey, you know, mm-hmm. this
Look
is what's happening.
Doing.
Look what you're doing.
Doing.
You know, that's it's a way of saying, you know, of calling our attention to the effects of our actions.
The other thing that it's worth mentioning about that subject, not to lessen the event when that occurs, but the dolphins have a different experience of death than most of us humans
right,
do.
Right. Yeah.
And so they really do have an enlightenment. They are enlightened in the knowing that they're simply dropping this body and moving on to the next experience. I was very blessed to be able to have a telepathic experience with a pod of dolphins. And the very first time they welcomed me into their pod, and these are physical dolphins that swim off the coast of Bonaire, I entered into their space in the water, and there was a huge celebration going on. And I thought, what is going on? And the knowing was transmitted to me that one of their elders had just transitioned, had just died. And they were celebrating. And it was like, whoa, we have a lot to learn
from
these dolphins. It was a celebration. So that's the other side of the coin, you know, not to lessen it, but the degree to which they suffer, I think, is less than what we think.
Right.
Yeah.
So what I want to do now is I want to play Station Luminescence again, and then
nice.
Linda's going to come back and do a little guided journey to close the show out. All right?
Nice. How much time do I have, Mark?
You have 12 minutes.
12 minutes? Perfect.
Okay. So
thanks.
In about 30 seconds, okay?
Okay.
All right. Should set a nice
yeah
us to have a little closing guide and journey with Linda.
Beautiful, thank you. So let's receive full deep breath into our body, filling up our entire lung cavity, the abdomen, the chest, with the same air that the dolphins out in the oceans breathe. And then full releases on the exhale, letting go. Letting go of tension and stress and worries, things that we don't need to hold on to right now. things that are keeping us from experiencing joy in our lives? We're being invited to bring our awareness into our heart space in the middle of our chest. Notice the quality of energy and experience that you're having in your heart space. Breathe into your heart space. And invite your heart space to open a little bit more or a lot more, to open to receive a gift of love from the dolphins. Who's present right now is that pod of dolphins that I just mentioned that swim off the coast of Bonaire in the South Caribbean. And the elder of the pod with whom I'm in very close connection, his name is Grandfather. So Grandfather, we welcome you and we welcome your pod into this space. Call forth the energy of the ocean to fill up our space. And each of us is receiving a personal visit by a few of these pod mates of Grandfather. They're befriending us. So in your own way, I invite you to reach out to these dolphins in spirit form and make a connection. Give them permission to swim through you and around you, to touch your heart with their love, to bring soothing and healing nurturance to any places inside that are hurting, physical, emotional. Allow us to love you, the dolphins say. Allow us to support you in your journey on planet Earth at this time as a human. We applaud you for your willingness to take this journey at this time. And every one of us has a reason for being here now. Every one of us has a contribution to make in the healing of humanity and of the planet. And the dolphin is here to support and assist each one of us in finding that source inside of us, the essence of who we are, our truest self, and bringing that to the surface. So that we may see, feel, and sense who we really are. And what we're here to contribute. I will be silent as that aspect of ourselves, our essence, is brought to the foreground of our awareness. All we need to do is relax and let go and allow the dolphins to create that shift inside. Give yourself permission to fully feel your true essence. We are so much more than we can perceive. We are vast. And allow the dolphins to create a symbol in your awareness, some sort of a picture or an image or a feeling that represents this quality of your essence. Simply allow something to come into your awareness. And this is something that you can return to in your own time, in your own way, to continue accessing this place inside of you and strengthening it and empowering it to become more present in your daily life. And you're always welcome to call on the dolphins for help, for support. Grandfather in his pod will joyfully serve you. And breathing deeply. Filling up our lungs on the inhale and full releases on the exhale. The dolphins want us to know how much we are loved.
Yeah. that was very powerful. Close the show here, but thank you so much for giving us that gift. Meditation. Let's remind the audience how we can get a hold of you on your website.
www.dolphinheartworld. dolphinheartworld.com. That was the name the dolphins gave us for what we're doing. dolphinheartworld.com. And if you don't remember that, just Google Linda Shea Dolphins. And you'll
or Dolphins in Sedona.
Or Dolphins in Sedona, and they'll come right up.
Okay.
Thank you, Mark, for this opportunity. It was a privilege and a joy.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay. Good night, all.
Good night. Take care.